While I stayed in the hospital with my youngest son, Minso, who was born with a life-threatening heart defect, one of the requirements before bringing him home was to get CPR training. CPR is a life-saving procedure and crucial in a cardiac or breathing emergency. And I'm sure that many of you in this room have been trained in how to perform this first aid technique, even though you are not medical professionals. We know CPR can help save a life during an emergency. No one knows when and to whom it will happen. Likewise, there might be a time of a spiritual emergency. There might be spiritual arrest, time when you are so overwhelmed that you feel like you can't breathe well. When you experience these things, you might find yourself in the midst of suffering. Suffering you think that you can't endure. Whether suffering comes to you expectedly or unexpectedly, you will need spiritual CPR. Today, as I preach under the title of CPR for suffering Christians, I recall what my instructor said in the beginning of the CPR class. He said, "I hope you won't have to confront any emergency situation that requires CPR. So my prayer is that none of you here will face any harsh suffering in your life. Yet, the Bible teaches us as Christians that suffering is something we need to always anticipate and even welcome. So I want you to be prepared for the spiritual CPR. I would like to look at today's passage, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 19, under three headings, which stand for CPR. C, characteristics of suffering. P, purposes of suffering. And R, responses to suffering. And I humbly ask you to entrust your suffering soul to your faithful Creator. Again, entrust your suffering soul to the faithful Creator. So rejoice in Him. Let's look at the characteristics of suffering. First of all, we need to confirm that this suffering in today's text is for Christians who confess Jesus Christ as their Savior and follow in His steps. In verse 13, we read that you share Christ's suffering. In verse 14, that you are insulted for the name of Christ. And verse 16 says, if anyone suffers as a Christian. Our text distinguishes the Christian suffering from other sufferings caused by one's own sin, by being involved in evil things such as murder, stealing, or other evil mentioned in verse 15. So, the suffering we are studying today is not something you experienced or expected before you came to Jesus Christ. Many of you may have read the story of Rosaria Butterfield's conversion to Christ from a life of rebellion to God and His people and His church. Her change to a Christian worldview required her to resign from her university professorship and to interact with the students and friends who did not understand such radical changes. She describes this experience as a train wreck. And you might also have heard the recent news in Northern Ireland. The suffering of the Christian owner of a local bakery after he refused to make a cake featuring gay marriage. When you became a Christian, you probably had some expectations. Learning about God and His Word, growing in faith, being part of a welcoming church, having friends who rejoice and mourn with you, finding peace of mind. But suffering was probably not one of these expectations, was it? Now, the more you study the Word of God, the more you find out something more that you didn't know. You will find that the prophets in the Old Testament suffered. And the apostles in the New Testament suffered. The trials and persecutions that comes to Christians fill every page of church history. In today's passage, Peter is also telling you that you are to expect some degree of suffering as a Christian. So, what is the degree of suffering? If you have ever ordered a spicy food at Korean restaurant or Spanish restaurant, your waiter will ask you a question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how spicy do you like to your food? Maybe your answer is number 10, my answer is number 3, less spice please. But the suffering you will have is not like that. Instead, our passage today says in verse 12 that it will be a fiery trial. It could be a scary fire. The burning flame of persecution. It will be not come on a scale of 1 to 10, but will be beyond 10. Which is hard to endure. Of course, sometimes there can be a relatively bearable suffering, but it will be still enough fiery heat to refine gold and silver. How about the types of suffering? On the Christian suffering menu, you cannot choose either degree or type. As you read from the last portion of verse 12, it is something strange happening to you. The origin of the word strange is a guest or a stranger you don't know but who visit you suddenly. Peter says, don't be surprised. This means that the suffering that comes to you may be enough to make you surprised and enough to shock you. We do not know what it will be. It will look like. You don't know what kind of a reaction from the world might come to you as you live as a Christian, even from your school, work, family, or friend. But what we know is that the world hates the truth. So it hates you if you love the truth. One more thing I want you to notice is that this fiery trial is not only for individual Christians, but also for the church. In the context of Peter's letter, from time to time, his warning fits more in the context of the church. Peter spoke of the spiritual temple of God in chapter 2, and now in verse 17, Peter says that judgment will begin at the household of God. And thinking of the time Peter wrote this letter, King Nero's great persecution on the early church was just around the corner. And to us and to 21st century Western churches, it would be hard to comprehend the reality of the persecution of the church. So we are so thankful for the freedom and safety we have now, but need to know we can be weakened from our complacency, unable to fight and defend the faith when times of testing come. Are we, as a church, and then as an army of God, to stand against the world, strong enough to stand against the world when the time comes? Are we? So these are the characteristics of suffering. But when we think or talk about sufferings, we always become a 3 years old child before God, asking why? Why God? Many why questions we ask. Why me? Why this suffering? Why this time? Why? And I hope we will find the answer under our second heading. P, the purposes of suffering. Purposes of suffering. What are the purposes of Christian suffering? Or why do Christians need to see suffering in their lives? Here are four purposes or reasons drawn from today's text. First, suffering tests your faith. Look back at verse 12, where it is written, "Do not be surprised that the fiery trial, when it comes upon you, to test you." To test you. The first purpose is to test you. I think Peter might have a few Old Testament passages in his mind, like Proverbs 27:21. "A proof fire for silver and a refining fire for gold. But a man is tested by the praises coming out through his mouth." A psalmist also remembered the times of suffering and confessed that, "Oh God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried." So fiery trials are testing you to purify your soul. It is a test for you to be enabled more and more to die unto sin and live unto righteousness. Tests are not fun, but will definitely help us move forward. Without a test, you don't know what area in your life needs to be improved. Without a test, you can't get up has a stamp and move up to a next level. Yet there is a comfort. Comfort when we say Christian suffering is a test. This test requires a planner or examiner, right? This test requires an example. And this test requires help or a guide. So here, for me, we can think of the very practical Trinitarianism in suffering. God the Father tests you through suffering. Jesus Christ becomes our example. And the Holy Spirit is given to us as our help and guide. And we find the second purpose in verse 13. It is to share Christ's suffering. The Greek Bible uses the verb to partake. As the King James Bible translates it, "You are partakers of Christ's suffering." I put it simply with one of my favorite English phrases, it means I'm in. Suffering will let you in. So let you in to where? To where? Suffering lets you into the truth. As mentioned earlier, your suffering is because of your faith in Christ, confession in the truth, which the world doesn't like to believe. So if you participate in Christ's suffering, you are in the truth. The truth in Christ, the truth Christ taught, and truth in the Bible. And Christ will let you follow. Also, suffering lets you in to Christ. If you are suffering, this means you are not of the world, but of Christ. You are in Christ by suffering like Christ. By participating in Christ's atoning death and suffering, you are united to Christ and have communion with Christ. And suffering lets you in to the body of Christ. If you are suffering, this shows that you are a part of the body of Christ, connecting to Christ. Suffering together in the body of Christ is an indication of your identification with Jesus Christ. Also, suffering lets you into the call. Many Bible passages call you to participate in Christ's suffering. You are called. To this, they have been called. In John 16:33, in the world you shall have tribulations. In Matthew 16:24, marvel not that the world should hate you. All who will live godly must suffer persecution. Do you want to participate in Christ's suffering? Will you join Christ's suffering? Are you in? Are you willing to be in? The next purpose of suffering is for joy. Joy. I'm not talking about the imperative verb rejoice mentioned at the beginning of verse 13. Rather, I'm looking at joy in the later part of verse 13, saying that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. This third point is connected to the second purpose of suffering. To many Olympic athletes, wounds and scars are a part of their training and performance. All the effort and times of patience, all the hardships, all the sweat, blisters, and bruises cannot be compared to the joy and glory on the victory stand. The race Christians are running in the midst of suffering also has an end. And at the end, there is only victory. Christ's victory is promised and assured. When Christ's glory and victory are revealed, you will rejoice because of the fact that you belong to the winning team. Suffering will make you rejoice on the final day, the victorious day, and the day of glory. That's one of the purposes for suffering. The last purpose of suffering is for blessings. Verse 14. If you are inserted for the name of Christ, you are blessed. You are blessed. You might have heard the stories of Christian martyrs during the 2,000 years of church history after Christ's ascension. And some of you are also familiar with the story of to Margaret during the killing time in Scotland. They were threatened and persuaded to give up their beliefs, but they never did, and were executed by drowning. It is said that the last of the two to be covered by the dark waters sang Psalm 25 as the incoming tide of the soul way forth drew higher and higher. Psalm 25, 16 to 20. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. And they were killed. But God gave them the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven for the two Margaret. And there they see and meet with their Savior, sitting with him and eating and drinking with him forever. The everlasting celestial blessings are given to them. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is a kingdom of heaven. We looked at C, characteristics of suffering, and P, purposes of suffering. Now we will move on from the question of why to the question of how under our third and last heading. We will look at the responses to suffering, our responses to suffering. Here I would like to give you six kinds of applications regarding your responses or attitudes as a suffering Christians in your fiery trials and persecution. First, prepare to not be surprised. Prepare to not be surprised. We have already seen in verse 12 that Peter says your suffering is something that surprises you, like an uninvited and unwelcomed guest. It seems ironic then for him to say to not be surprised, but it is important to heed this warning. Don't forget that suffering and persecution as a Christian may come any time as you live in the faith. Of course, this mindset of readiness would be naturally present all the time if you lived in countries like North Korea, we heard this morning, or those that have a Muslim majority, because there are some gruesome persecution and suffering taking place. How about us? Do you have a ready-to-suffer mindset? For us, a ready-to-suffer mindset, even thinking next is my turn, must be purposefully encouraged and equipped by practices of reading and meditation on Bible passages related to the suffering Christ and suffering Christians, studying church history, and opening our eyes toward other persecuted countries in the world. So prepare not to be surprised. Second, in spite of sufferings, rejoice. fear, sorrow, and agony, those are likely your natural responses when you first encounter this kind of suffering. The Bible says that our Lord Jesus Christ was also overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death when his time on this earth came near to the end. But we can think of God's big picture in our suffering. As we look back to the purposes of suffering we considered under our second heading, just like Peter encouraged us to rejoice in suffering, consider what James says about suffering. James 1:2-4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And Paul elaborates on what causes us to count suffering all joy when he writes about justification by faith in Romans 5. Here, Romans chapter 5, verse 1-4. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into his grace, this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. We have hope in Christ. Suffering will produce that hope, and we rejoice in that hope of the glory of God. Dear congregation, this is the anchor in the storm of our suffering. As we continue, the Christian's response to suffering for faith is not to be ashamed, but to be glorifying to God. Let me read verse 16 again. Yet if anyone suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. The answer to question 1 in the Westminster Shorter Catechism reminds us that glorifying God and enjoying him forever are man's chief end. And one Puritan says, men glorify God when the design of their life and actions is the glory and honor of God. Don't you think that if your lifestyle and actions are aimed at bringing glory and honor to God, your enemies will pay sharp attention? Satan will use other people as his instrument to blame you and accuse you. Shame, shame. This is exactly what happened while Jesus Christ walked up to Calvary, the hill of Golgotha. His steps to glorify God were opposed with mocking. Shame, shame, shame. And we know this story. Jesus, who is the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Are you afraid of being shamed as you glorify God alone in your life? Are you so afraid of people's accusation to make you ashamed that you shame your Savior? If so,
look to Jesus Christ, the founder and perfecter of your faith. The fourth response to suffering is to do good. To do good. I will read verse 19 again. Listen carefully to the very last part of this verse. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Look at the example of Christ. He endured his suffering while doing good. His response should be our response to suffering as well. Satan is seeking someone to devour. He's watching for the time and you stumble and backslide. He's whispering all the time, be a murderer, be a thief, be an evildoer, be a meddler. He's ready to accuse you when you don't live out the way of the godly, doing good according to the word of God. Satan wants to make you like those who don't care about the outcome for those who do not obey the word of God. The outcome is the only judgment on the final day. So I encourage you to keep the good work as a Christian. And fifth, this is the most important one in my mind. Entrust yourself to your Creator. The noun form Creator is found only here in the entire New Testament, although there are ideas of Creator and the verb form one who creates, like in Romans 1:25. Also, here is another interesting word, to entrust. The verb to entrust means to hand over something of value to the care of another. Just like Psalm 31:5 says, into your hand I commit my spirit. So this last verse of today's passage means to hand over yourself to the Creator who is faithful. He is our faithful Creator. Even our suffering is according to His will, Peter says. So, with a deep sense of our own incapacity to meet and sustain the trial in a way glorifying to God, we must rely on God's wisdom, His power, and His protection, and trust His will. This is the time you stop performing CPR and hand over your suffering soul to the hands of God, who is the faithful Creator. He is the perfect and never mistaken physician. We have the reason for comfort, the reason for rejoicing, and the reason for praise revealed here when we entrust ourselves to our Lord. And sixth and last, suffer together. Suffer together. It can be applied to our church life. Even though you do not seem to be undergoing suffering personally, don't think there is no suffering of a kind Peter is warning you about. The Apostle Paul says, if one man suffers, all suffer together. John Calvin also wrote a letter to a persecuted church in his homeland saying, though your vexation and distresses affect us with such affliction as the member of the same body, must necessarily feel for their mutual sufferings. Every day, every moment, there are Christians who are persecuted and even killed. They are your brothers and sisters. Please don't think those sufferings your brothers and sisters undergo is their suffering only. It is also your suffering. When you hear about persecution and suffering of other brothers and sisters in Christ, how much do you put yourself in their shoes? How much do you ache with them? As the body of Christ, we are also able to stand alongside the suffering brothers and sisters with the same heart, with the compassion for their suffering, and lift them in your fervent prayer to our Lord, who can sympathize with all the sufferings. Entrust them into the hands of a faithful Creator. Let me conclude today's sermon by going back to the very first word of today's passage, verse 12. Do you find it? What is there? Beloved, this letter, this prophetic warning, this teaching of CPR is delivered from Peter with the hope that his beloved people might not encounter any harsh suffering in this world. I too don't want to see my beloved family, my beloved friends, my beloved brothers and sisters here going through suffering on this earth. My Father, if it is possible, may this cup of suffering be taken from them. This must be the heart of Christ who suffered for us. That might be the heart of Peter who followed in the suffering of Christ. Yet, not as I will, but as you will. Because suffering is to and for the righteous, not the unrighteous. Because suffering is to those who carry the name Christian. Because suffering is purifying them to follow in the steps of our Lord Jesus Christ and for the sake of His glory. My beloved, entrust your souls to your faithful Creator. Please remember the heart of this passage, that you also may entrust your suffering soul to our Creator and rejoice in Him. Characteristics of suffering. Purposes of suffering. Responses of suffering.